your friends in Jesus Christ. Today, I'm going to say some things that are related to this book called Without Excuse. It's a book I'm hoping you'll pick up a copy of and then read one page each day throughout the year. It has some very interesting and some very important information. I'll come back to the book toward the end today, but let me focus on this topic of without excuse. And just before I do that, let me begin by making some statements about what we believe. So we believe that by the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, thinking about creation type things, we believe the Bible is true. What is one reason why we believe the Bible is true? Jesus, as recorded in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven, and he said, "Your word is truth." So we're taking Jesus at his word when he prayed, "Your word is truth." Also, too, we believe that God the Father worked through God the Son to create all things. Why do we believe that? We go back to the Bible again. So in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, that's a significant verse. It's talking about what God the Father did through the Son, and it says, through whom God made the world. In other words, God made the world through his Son. And then we also believe the contents of the U-verse of the ABC Bible verses. We've recently completed going through all of the alphabet. I'm hoping that all of our young people and even all of us have learned the ABC Bible verses. Coming to the U-verse, it's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So many other passages I could mention from the Bible on the topic of creation. To summarize this section, of course we know that in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, that's where we have the primary creation account, but let's also understand that God's work of creation is repeatedly mentioned throughout the entire Bible. A very important theme in the Bible. Think about it like this. In fact, because God worked in 6 days to create all things, and then he rested on the seventh, as the Bible says, what is the entire world doing today? They're following a seven-day week. Where do we get the seven-day week? Because God created in six and rested on one. So whether the world understands it or not, the whole world is following the Bible with the seven-day week. Going on here to the second part, I have some bad news in this part, but I'm hoping it will be beneficial to each of us. So I'm saying here that most people suppress the truth. The key passage in the Bible here to get to the topic of suppressing the truth and also to come to the words without excuse, we have to go to Romans chapter 1. I put the passage in your service folder. You can follow along. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. Why is that so? Because God made it evident to them. And then the Bible says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so they are without excuse. What's that really saying? It's saying that we're living here in the midst of God's awesome creation. There's no way anybody can miss it. But yet people do miss it. What has God done? Let me just give you just a couple things of the millions of things God has done. First of all, think about the perfect rotation of our planet. It is just so unbelievable if you really study into it and see the great precision. This cannot happen by random chance. There has to be a great God that is keeping it going exactly like that. Or think about the overwhelming complexity of DNA. Where did all of our DNA come from? God made two people. We think about them as Adam and Eve. And let's understand that the DNA for every person that ever will live on planet Earth, their DNA was packed into the DNA of Adam and Eve. I mean, these things are so overwhelming, they cannot happen by random chance. And then to get more simple here, if I would have done a children's message today, I would have mentioned this. Think about the beautiful simplicity of an orange being pre-divided, after you peel it, being pre-divided into bite-sized pieces. Did that happen by random chance? No, there is an awesome God. We're living in the midst of all of this. God wants us to see it. He wants us to marvel at it. He wants us to know the Bible is true. But let's understand, though, many are suppressing the truth. I want to say something that might be a little bit controversial here, but which church bodies today are rejecting a literal six-day young earth creation? I'm going to give you a little list here. Now, when I give the list, let me give a little disclaimer first. So when I give the list, these are church bodies that officially reject a literal six-day young earth creation. Now, when I say that, that is an official teaching of each of these church bodies, but it doesn't mean that the individual members of those church bodies agree with that, but it is the official teaching of those church bodies. Now, for us as a Missouri Synod congregation, we do officially hold to a literal six-day young earth creation. But let's understand, though, the other church bodies that do that, it's a very short list. The vast majority of church bodies in the world, they are not holding to what the Bible is teaching. Some of those churches would be the Roman Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Presbyterian Church USA, United Methodist Church, and United Church of Christ. So again, it's not talking about individuals, it's talking about the official stance of those church bodies. I want you to know it's a very serious and sad situation. Let me go a little further here. How do people suppress the truth? They do that when they say that God did not create, as God himself has explained in the Bible, and instead they are holding to some form of evolution. Can you see where I'm going there? So the Bible is so clear, and yet they're saying, oh no, that's not what happened. Rather, it's something else that we're going to tell you, even though it's not what the Bible is telling us. What happens then? So when we conclude that right at the beginning of the Bible, it is not true, what that tells people who are hearing that, it tells them that this book is not reliable. And it tells them that we don't really need to pay attention to this book, because if right at the beginning it's not true, how do we even know when the Bible says that something is right or wrong? How do we know that is true? How do we know that Jesus really is the Son of God in human flesh? And we can just go on and on and on. So what are some ungodly practices that people fall into? In other words, they're doubting the creation account. So they begin to doubt more and more of the Bible, and then they fall into these ungodly practices. You can see it right there in Romans chapter 1. So in Romans chapter 1, it tells us in the passage we read that people are going to deny God's work of creation. What comes right after that? Right after that is the topic of homosexuality. Can you see that in the world? So we have churches that have said the creation account isn't true, and now many of the churches, not all of them, but many of the ones I read, now they're embracing homosexuality. We should not be surprised at all. The Bible has that all laid out for us. So when people are uncertain about the Word of God, and they know, like here at Bethlehem, we're proclaiming the Word of God, they might say, well, I know it's not really true, so I'm not going to read it, and I'm not going to gather in order to hear it. So it's a very serious matter when we're doubting the Word of God. What about this idea of great gender confusion in our world today? The Bible is so clear that God created them male and female. It is completely impossible to change that. God has made us one or the other, that's it. But when we believe the Bible is not true, then we can go beyond that, and we can even do it guilt-free if we are convinced enough that the Bible is not true. Or what about this idea about having sex outside of marriage? Boy, that is such a common thing today. Like, everybody's doing it. But why would people do that? Because they've convinced themselves that their ways are better than God's ways. And if they don't really think the Bible is true, then they're like, well, maybe that's God's way and maybe it isn't. I can't rely on the Bible. So when we stop believing in creation, it leads to other things. And it's a very serious matter in our world today. Why is creation rejection a problem? Well, if we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, this is talking now on the topic of false doctrine. Here's how the verse goes. It says a little leaven works through the whole lump of dough. Now, I'm not a baker, but if I had a lump of dough and I put some leaven or yeast in it, my understanding is it's going to eventually permeate that entire lump of dough. Am I right, Heather? Okay, thank you. Why is the Bible speaking about that? Here in Galatians 5, Paul is saying, when you permit like one little bit of false teaching into this body of things that you believe, say you have all these things you believe and these are all true, they all line up with the Bible, and then finally you compromise and you say, well, I'm going to hold on to all this, but I'm going to let this one false teaching come into this body of things I believe. What Paul is saying is, just like leaven or yeast working through a lump of dough, that one false teaching is going to begin working through these other teachings that you have. So when we let even one thing in, it becomes dangerous. It's not just staying that one thing, but it's moving further and further. God wants us to understand that. What is true of all creation rejectors? Well, let's understand they are without excuse. I just read that there in Romans chapter 1. Let me share something here briefly with you about what we have in Matthew chapter 22, where we have the parable of the wedding banquet. Do you remember that? So all the people were invited to come as they're going into the king's palace. They're all offered a set of wedding clothes. You have to have the proper clothes if you're going to be in the banquet. The king understands the people can't afford those kinds of clothes, so every single person is offered the right clothes. So all the people are gathered in the banquet, but the one man, though, he was offered the clothes, he refused them, he didn't think he needed them, and then the king comes out to look at the people, and he sees the one man without the proper clothes, and he says to him, friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The Bible tells us that the man was speechless. Now that is not true. That is not a proper understanding of what the Bible is telling us. I don't want you to lose your confidence in the Bible. We have some very good English translations of the Bible, but here, though, for some reason, they did not do the best translation work on this one particular Greek word. So the Bible does not say that the man was speechless. The Bible says here the man was muzzled. The man was silenced. The man was not permitted to say a single word. That is what's going to happen when Christ returns, no one is going to be able to have an opportunity to explain why they chose to live in opposition to the Bible and without repentance. Not a single word is going to be permitted. Why is that? Because people are without excuse. There is no excuse that will be valid, so God's not going to waste his time hearing a single excuse. That's what the wedding banquet is pointing to, and that's what the Bible is telling us there in Romans chapter 1. So we don't want to be in that category at all. Rather, we want to embrace the entire Bible to be the true Word of God. So coming to this devotion book, we're making it available today, and I want us to believe the Bible is true. I think this book will help us believe even more that the Bible is true. This book is going to help us trust in Jesus for eternal life even more than we already do. This book is going to make us more aware of God's awesomeness. I want us to become equipped to tell others about who God is and what God has done. I want to give you one example from the book now in closing. So I want to talk here about God's amazing hummingbird. Now, we've tried to feed the hummingbirds on our back deck there for years, and boy, we see one once in a great while, but we must not be offering the right food or something. But a hummingbird is an amazing, amazing bird. Let me give you a little bit of an idea here. Now, this is coming out of the book, so you'll have to read to the month of July in order to find this particular devotion, but it's just one example of the 365 that are in the book. So thinking about the hummingbird, its heart beats up to 1,200 times per minute. Thinking about the hummingbird, its wings flap 80 times per second. Think about that, 80 times per second. And then, since the hummingbird is consuming so much energy, it needs to extract nectar from about 2,000 flowers every day in order to have enough food to be able to continue doing what a hummingbird does. How does that work, though? I want to tell you about the process of how the hummingbird is getting the nectar from the flowers and into itself. So it has a very long, specifically designed tongue, and in the tongue is a very small micro pump. As the tongue probes into the flower and touches the nectar, the tongue unzips into two long, narrow tubes. The nectar is drawn in as each tube expands, and then the tongue is brought back into the mouth, and the bird squeezes the nectar from its tongue by collapsing the tubes. Quite a process, isn't it? Think about this now. I'm so glad you're sitting down. So this process happens over and over again, up to 23 times per second. Isn't that overwhelming? So when we think about the hummingbird, the pump, the design, all that is going on with it, it is far more advanced than any human engineer could ever design. Who designed the hummingbird? Who kept it functioning all these millennia? It was the Lord God Almighty. So I just hope with what I've said that you're like, wow, God is an awesome God. Wow, this book is the Word of God. We can rely on every bit of it. And by picking up a copy of this book and by making use of it, you're going to find out that this book has such interesting information. We're going to grow as we read the book. And then what's going to happen? Just like with the hummingbird, I was excited today about sharing that with you. Now imagine you're talking to a family member or a friend, and it happens to come up in the conversation, and you're able to say, hey, I'm excited about this. Would you mind if I share with you about the hummingbird, this awesome creation that God has done? And then we can share with them, and maybe that would lead to the topic of the Bible, maybe that would lead to the topic of Jesus, and maybe God would use that to bring them into the kingdom. So imagine having all kinds of things from this very book. Don't take a copy unless you're really planning to read through it day by day. If you are, please take a copy. If you would share something from the book with someone else, if they're interested, what should you do? I'll tell them, I'm going to get you a free copy of the book. That way you can read it too. So that's the idea, is that we would benefit, then we can pass the book on to others who are also interested. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are so, so awesome. We know that is true because of your creation in which we live. We pray that you would lead many to read and benefit from and share the contents of our 2026 devotional book offering called Without Excuse. Let us never try to think up excuses for anything that we're doing in violation of your holy word, but rather let us truly repent so we don't need excuses. Help us to honor you as best we can, and help us to know through your Son we have your gift of forgiveness. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.